AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's Brett and Hunter filling in for Matt McNeil today. He has another day of vacation lined up for tomorrow as well, when Alan Miller will be in. But have no fear, Matt McNeil back in the hosting chair on Thursday. But until then, you are stuck with Hunter and myself. I know you and Eric call yourself Thursdays with the Fellas. I like that name. I don't think I'm cool enough to be a fella, so we'll come up with something here eventually for you and I filling in for Matt McNeil here on your Tuesday afternoon. But you're stuck with us not only for 1 hour, but 2 hours, because I, of course, also normally host the Minnesota Progressive Repartee every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m., so figured it'd just be easy to add the extra hour and fill in for Matt, so you get a double fix of Hunter and myself. So, Hunter, you're excited about that. 2 hours. Gotta love that. Bonus time.
Yeah, exactly. I am excited.
Yeah, we have a busy, well, I don't know if I can call it show or shows, since technically they are two different shows, but we're on for 2 hours and we have lots planned for you. Coming up during the 3 p.m. hour, in fact, in just a moment, we'll be speaking with Phil Wolgan from the Center for American Progress, because I think something lost in this whole border wall debate and the Donald Trump shutdown is not necessarily whether it's moral to build a border wall, but are they even effective in the first place? Mm. That's something I think we need to ask, and that's something we're going to address with Phil in just a few moments. Then a little bit later on, during the 4 p.m. hour, we're going to focus a little bit more on Minnesota politics, and specifically this special election in Senate District 11, which is taking place. It's kind of the southern area of the Iron Range and parts of, maybe you call it north central, northeastern Minnesota. We'll talk about that, because this is a huge election. This could determine whether Republicans in the state Senate have either a one seat majority or a three seat majority, which will have major impacts on gun reform issues, also legalization of marijuana, whether we go to a Minnesota Care buy-in in terms of health insurance. So I'll speak with Aaron Brown of Minnesota Brown about that special election, because today they're actually holding the DFL primary to see who will take on the Republican in this special election, which is on February 5th. Then we'll also check in with our friend David Schultz, Hamline University political science professor. It's been a while since we've had him on the show, and we're going to talk Minnesota legislator politics and also some national issues as well. So lots planned. And also later on this hour, I want to hear your thoughts, because there are two major issues that have been in the news, one national and one local, that I want to get your thoughts on. One, of course, is the local issue of Jordan High School. Matt's been talking about this lately, of basically having the Jordan student section holding up signs in support of Donald Trump and having a big Donald Trump banner when they were playing a team of predominantly black players from Minneapolis Washburn. We'll talk about that later on. And then also try to connect that with, of course, the controversy we had in Washington, D.C. over the weekend, with Native Americans being taunted by some high school students from Covington Catholic High School over in Kentucky. We'll get your thoughts on that probably towards the bottom of the 3 o'clock hour, because I want to know what you think about that issue. And then Hunter had a tremendous observation, which I want to get to later on, connecting that to some other high school students that have been in the news over the past few years. But first, I'd like to welcome on Phil Wolgan. He is the Managing Director of the Center for American Progress's Immigration Policy Team, because I want to talk about Trump's supposed compromise to end the shutdown that he made over the weekend. And while we essentially know his only concession seems to be giving temporary protection to Dreamers, which, by the way, is something he took away in the first place, so all he's doing and all he's proposing is restoring something he got rid of on his own. But there also appears to be a lot of poison pills in this Senate bill that was just proposed a little while ago that has a lot to do with Trump's compromise. And as Phil Wolgan has been tweeting about over the past few hours, by the way, give him a follow at P. Wolgan, that's P-W-O-L-G-I-N, over on Twitter, because Phil, you did a tremendous timeline and thread on some of these poison pills that are in this bill that Senate Republicans have proposed to try to end the shutdown. And first up, Phil, welcome to the program. Glad you could join us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, I was following your Twitter thread, and I have to admit, I was already annoyed enough by this so-called compromise of Trump essentially just restoring something he took away in the first place. But then I go ahead and look at your Twitter thread, and there are all sorts of poison pills in this bill that Senate Republicans have proposed to try to end the shutdown. And one of the ones that jumped out at me is this complete ban on asylum for people that are at the border. Can you tell us what exactly is that? And is this even legal to do?
Yeah, I mean, let me just say first, you know, I think as much as I every time I think I'm not going to be surprised by the Trump administration, I am once again. I mean, this is one of those scenarios in which even my low expectations for this sort of compromise or whatever we'd like to call it legislation, I mean, this is far, far worse than expected, right? There's no reasonable observer could look at this and say, yeah, this looks like a compromise. This looks like an actual good faith effort. So the provision you just flagged, you know, part of this, what the Trump administration is trying to say is, look, we're going to create a way for kids in particular from countries, Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala, right, not have to leave their own country. They can apply for refugee status from home or, you know, Costa Rica, Belize, somewhere in the area. But the provision they've tucked in says, at the same time, we are going to make it so any kid from these countries who comes to the border, you can't get asylum. Absolutely no asylum whatsoever at the border. This doesn't seem legal. It also doesn't seem to make much sense. If you look at how the bill is drafted, and I can't imagine this was intentional, but then again, maybe it's just really nefarious, but the ban on applying for asylum starts immediately after this bill would be passed, and yet, even under the bill's term, it would be 8 full months before even that paltry way that you could apply in the area would be stood up. So for at least 8 months, there's zero way for any child from Honduras, El Salvador, Guatemala to apply, and even after that, very little way to apply.
So essentially, if I'm reading this right, you can't apply for asylum if you're at the border. So what exactly do you do if you're in a country ravaged by war or ravaged by gangs? Are you just supposed to apply while you're in your home country and then just hope for the best, hope that something happens over the next few months, which obviously doesn't happen because usually this process takes a whole lot longer than that?
Oh, yeah. And on top of that, they're actually capping the number of people they will accept under the program each year. They'll take in 50,000 applications, but they're only going to process 15,000 of them a year. So we're talking about, like you say, children fleeing really unspeakable violence in untenable situations. And the Trump administration is saying, we are going to make it nearly impossible for you to actually get asylum. Or if so, if you want to go through the process, yeah, just wait in that terribly violent situation. I mean, this is, you know, radically different than, say, what the Obama administration did when they created a similar program that would process people in country, but said, look, if you're in imminent danger, we will evacuate you to another country while we process your application. And they never said, you know, we're just going to stop people from applying for asylum at all. I mean, that just goes against both domestic law and international obligations. It really just makes no sense.
So I got to ask you about this as well, because I was reading through this before the show, and I just can't believe this, but this bill also includes basically what's, lack of a better term, a slush fund of $500 for any applicant from DACA to be used for any enforcement action, including building the wall or separating families, etc. As you tweeted about this, why is this in the bill, and what exactly is this? So essentially, it seems to me, for every person who applies for DACA, they send $500 towards a border wall or any other type of border security?
Yeah. I mean, this is just baffling. And this is something, as far as I can tell, without precedent. So there's always been a fee for any single visa, right? You cover the fees to the government to process your application. It's the same if you apply for DACA or a green card. What they're saying is, on top of that, you have to give the government $500 that will be specifically earmarked for immigration enforcement. It's everyone under DACA, 700,000 or so. It's everyone under the TPS provisions of the bill. I mean, we're talking about $500 to $600 million that the Trump administration can really do whatever they want with, as far as I can tell, very little restrictions or oversight. And that's a pretty scary thing, given what we've seen from the administration.
Yeah, another thing you were tweeting about is how this program they're talking about, I believe it's TPS, caps the number of kids who can apply to only 50,000 per year, but as you say, it only allows DHS to accept 15,000 people. So even as you say, by the end of the first year, which is the waiting time for kids facing unspeakable violence, it'll be many years. How is this workable, as you say? Is it even?
Yeah, I mean, I think the point is that it's not, and I think this is where we come back to this not actually being a serious proposal, right? You can't see away. If your goal is, look, we don't want people to make the dangerous journey, we want to stop so many people from coming to the border, there's no way that this plan will actually do that. And I think if you take things like restrictions on the numbers, if you take things like trying to stop people from coming to the border, turning themselves in, you know, applying for asylum, all you're doing is incentivizing people to come in not through legal channels. I mean, so many people that are coming to the border now are literally turning themselves into Border Patrol agents to say, look, I want to apply for asylum, I want to go through the process. And, you know, the incentives under legislation like this is to tell people, you can't do that. You should, you know, do this process that doesn't work, or basically sneak in. And, you know, that's clearly something that nobody thinks is a good idea.
Again, we're speaking with Phil Wolgen. He is the managing director for the Center for American Progress's immigration policy team, and I really encourage you to follow him on Twitter, P-W-O-L-G-I-N, for his great thread on some of these poison pills that were put in this Republican bill, which has to do with Donald Trump's compromise, or supposed compromise, that he made over the weekend. We were going through some of the provisions just a few minutes ago. Are there any others you'd like to highlight of these poison pills that have been getting stuck in this bill that the Senate GOP is proposing?
So I think one that I find particularly ironic is that there is a new ground of ineligibility, which is to say that a new reason why DACA recipients would not be able to get this temporary status under the bill if they've ever done anything like sexual harassment, and it's on them to prove that that's true. One wonders if the president would be able to, you know, pass such things. I think that's a pretty interesting test. And I think there's a whole bunch of other restrictions out there, frankly, that are set up to make sure that even if this were to pass, even if we're saying that everyone who has DACA should be able to get a temporary status, the number of people who might actually be able to ultimately get that status is probably far, far lower than even people who have DACA today. So, you know, it is nowhere near a fig leaf. It's restrictive, it makes no sense, and it's just punitive.
So, switching gears, Noah, I want to actually get into the border wall debate itself and whether border walls actually work, because so often when I hear this debate between people that are on the left side of the issue and the right side of the issue, I hear it framed in terms of moral issues, where Democrats say and people who lean to the left say, well, it's not moral to build a wall, which I completely agree with, while people on the right, of course, make that opposite argument, saying that we need to make our country safe. We can't have open borders. But I think it kind of misses the larger issue with this whole Donald Trump border wall. And the question is, do border walls actually work? And this is a question for you, Phil. And what unforeseen problems do we have with actually having a giant border wall across the entire southern border?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. So I think there are probably three things I would flag, and I can go into all of them. I mean, one is just the environmental impacts. We're talking about a significant number of endangered species on the wall. My colleagues on our energy and environment team talk about soil erosion, other things that just don't do very well when you're actually talking about building a physical wall. I think another thing, the second thing that really just does not get talked about enough, is the fact that, look, two-thirds of the border is either privately held land or it's owned by one of the Native American tribes or the states. I mean, this is not land that the federal government owns. And that means the only way they can build the wall on it is the federal government seizes that land through eminent domain. So we're talking about, you know, potentially hundreds, if not more, of people actually losing the land, losing their, you know, subsistence, losing their farms, and I think that'll be a really big fight. There's even the Catholic Diocese of Brownsville that has a chapel that would fall right in the path of the planned wall, and that chapel would have to come down. So, you know, we're talking about significant issues. And then I think there's just the efficacy question, which is that, look, some of the most secure borders in history, if we're talking about the Berlin Wall to Israel's border wall, India's border wall with Bangladesh, I mean, these are still walls that have seen significant numbers of people evade them. Even our own border wall, one article I read recently said there were three tunnels found in January alone under the U.S.-Mexico border. A wall just isn't the answer.
Mm-hmm. And I want to go back to this eminent domain question, I should say, because I was doing some research on this too. And as you said, the vast majority, especially in the state of Texas, is actually privately owned. And I remember back when the Bush administration tried to do this property owners weren't exactly treated well. They weren't getting full price for their land, even when they were being eminent domained. And I'm sure that would probably be the same policy under a Donald Trump administration.
I think that's exactly right. And I think there's a, you know, it's a really good reason why the one Republican member of Congress who happens to, from the border region, Will Hurd, he's got a significant amount of that Texas border wall. I mean, he talks over and over again about why we don't need a wall, why a wall is not the answer. And, you know, he would know better than anyone. It's his constituents who are going to be affected.
Yeah, thanks. So this is Phil Wolgen. He is the Managing Director of Immigration Policy at the Center for American Progress, talking about the border wall and some of the problems with the wall, and then also the poison pills that were put in this Republican Senate bill that has to do sort of with Donald Trump's supposed compromise. Hey, Phil, thanks so much for taking some time out of your day to go through and talk about what's in this bill and also talk about the border wall as well. Really appreciate it.
No problem. This was great. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Phil. Again, that's Phil Wolgen. You can follow him at P-W-O-L-G-I-N. If you'd like to give us a call, give us a ring at 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. If you have some thoughts on the border wall and the supposed compromise that Donald Trump made over the weekend. Also, if you have thoughts on what happened at the memorial in Washington, D.C. between the Native Americans and the white students from Covington Catholic in Kentucky, give us a call, 952-946-6205, back on the other side of the break.
Rudy Luther Toyota has a great selection of new vehicles, but Rudy Luther is also one of the largest volume Toyota-certified used vehicle dealers in the country. They have better prices than many non-certified dealers, and they offer a 7-year, 100,000-mile warranty, feature incredibly low interest rates, and all their vehicles go through a comprehensive inspection and reconditioning process. And right now, they're paying top dollar for your trade-in, even if you don't buy from them. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Total Dog Company is the destination dog food and gear store on the west side of the Twin Cities, with easy access off of 169. We have a growing group of loyal customers and increasing numbers of referrals from dog professionals and dog parents because we carry quality products, give sound advice, and are easy to do business with. Total Dog Company keeps up on the latest developments in dog nutrition and products. Find us in New Hope off of 169 at 9432 36th Avenue North and at TotalDogCompany.com.
You are an entrepreneur, which means you do everything. You are awesome. And when people say you should advertise on social media, you say, what? I don't have time for all of this. I have a business to run. Yes, you do. What you ought to do is sign up for Buzz Frenzy. It automates Facebook advertising. You simply add a hashtag to your post and Buzz Frenzy turns that post into an ad automatically. You don't have to do anything else. You are going to look like a genius. It costs as little as $50 a month, including media spend, which will give you results 3 to 5 times better than doing it yourself. How do we do it? We automate it. So be a genius and sign up at BuzzFrenzy.com. It's super simple, especially for someone as awesome as you.
Visit the wine bar at Cafe Latte and enjoy a unique handcrafted pizza and glass of wine. The perfect place for an intimate night or an evening with friends. Choices range from spicy Italian sausage and sweet roasted peppers to the one-of-a-kind nacho chicken pizza layered with blue corn tortilla chips. The approachable wine list offers over 30 by the glass, with special emphasis on wines from Washington State. End your night with one of Cafe Latte's melt-in-your-mouth desserts, 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
If you're someone that counts on AM 950 to bring you the latest in progressive politics, news, and talk, remember, we can't do it alone. Support our many great advertisers and let them know you heard about their business on AM 950. If you don't know who to talk to, simply write AM 950 on your receipt. AM 950 is supported by small, local businesses, so you're not only helping us and those businesses, but our local economy as well. For a complete list of our sponsors, log on to am950radio.com.
Standard Heating is celebrating 89 years in business this January, but you get all the gifts, like saving $1,900 on a high-efficiency furnace and AC or boiler. In addition to providing year-round comfort for your family, you'll also enjoy lower energy bills. That's certainly worth celebrating. Learn how you can save $1,900 on your new furnace and AC or boiler, and other anniversary savings at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, comfort you deserve.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Oh man, I was just Googling the latest on what's happening with the border wall. And our buddy, everyone's favorite Democrat, Colin Peterson, has a real doozy of a quote on the border wall. Yeah. what is this guy still doing in the DFL? I mean, I know we need rural DFLers and some that lean a little bit more conservative, but he just made these comments today. I'll read this. This is from The Hill that just reported this. So, Representative Colin Peterson, representing Minnesota's 7th Congressional District, called on his Democratic colleagues to give President Trump the funding for his long-desired border wall between the U.S. and Mexico, saying its construction is inevitable. He says, quote, "Give Trump the money. I'd give him the whole thing and put strings on it so you make sure he puts the wall where it needs to be. Why are we fighting over this? We're going to build the wall anyway at some time." That is Colin Peterson.
So what about this wall is inevitable? This was not even being talked about until 2 years ago, and illegal immigration from the southern border has steadily gone down the past 20 years.
That's key. Exactly. It has gone down over the past few years, and even if you look, so often Donald Trump likes to cite crime stats and how illegal immigrants commit crimes at a higher rate than the general population. Well, generally, there has not been a whole lot of study on that topic, except for this one from Texas from the Cato Institute. Texas is one of the few states that actually, I believe, keeps some tabs on crime stats for illegal immigrants. And it turns out they actually commit crime at a lower rate than native-born Americans. Native-born Americans as in people who are actually born in this country, as opposed to actual Native Americans who are from American Indian descent. Just want to make sure we clear that up. But as Hunter said, nobody was talking about this border wall until Donald Trump came down that staircase in 2015 and announced that he was running for president. And here we go, Colin Peterson saying that we just should give Trump exactly what he wants because the border wall is inevitable, which of course it is not, because even if I've actually thought about this before, let's say we actually do give Donald Trump all of this money, what would it take for the next president just to reverse this? That's all they would need to do is to stop funding it. And in fact, the next president, if they were a Democrat, even if it were to happen in 2000, let's say 28, way down the line, let's say Donald Trump is reelected in 2020 and we get another Republican for 4 years, all it would take would be one Democrat coming in a future year to reverse the wall and tear it down. Because as has been brought up so many times, it's not like this wall is going to be built overnight. It's going to take years and possibly even decades to do so. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Got full phone lines. Let's go ahead and start running some of these, keeping Hunter busy in there. Let's go to Bernie in Northeast Minneapolis. Hey, Bernie, what are your thoughts on the border wall?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. First of all, regarding Colin Peterson, oh my God.
Yeah, no kidding. This just popped up. I could not believe that when I read that quote from The Hill.
Secondly, I wonder if any of the local governmental units down there are figuring out how much money they would lose after eminent domain would take over.
Mm-hmm.
Not only will the people lose their land, but the local governments will lose taxes on it. I wonder if these wonderful local government people are thinking about that, or if that has crossed their mind already.
Yeah, there would be quite a bit of money that would be lost, because we didn't have a chance to get into this all the way. And thanks so much for the call, Bernie, with Phil over at the Center for American Progress. But he was writing about how the Bush administration proposed not necessarily a full border wall, but different types of border fences, and they were eminent domaining the heck out of people down near the Texas border. And basically, not only were they not paying full price for some of the land that they were taking via eminent domain, in some cases, they weren't paying any money. So imagine if you're down there as a red state person living on the border between Texas and Mexico, all of a sudden the federal government comes along and says, hey, we need your land for the border wall. I wouldn't take that very well, even if I was getting paid full price, let alone not getting paid at all or getting paid just half the price. That would certainly make me angry. Wouldn't that for you, Hunter, if all of a sudden some government comes in and says, hey, we need your land for a border wall?
Yeah, this happened a lot during the Bush administration, and people got completely screwed over in these deals.
Yeah, exactly. 952-946-6205. Here's someone that lives, well, somewhat near the border, one of our, I'm assuming, online listeners, which we love to hear. We got listeners all over the place. We have people from California, New York, Arizona. We even have a guy from Toronto. I love Roman from Toronto, getting some international listeners. But let's go ahead to Rich, who lives in Tempe, Arizona. He wants to talk about Roger Stone and Alex Jones. Hey there, Rich.
Yeah, I was calling to ask if it could be true, because I heard over the weekend Roger Stone on Alex Jones' show say that Trump and Pence will be basically voted off the island in March, which means that Nancy Pelosi will be president, and then she would choose Hillary as vice president, and then Nancy will resign as president, making Hillary the president.
Oh,
man. You think that could be true?
Well, we got to consider the source. It is Roger Stone, and Roger has been known to tell a lie or two in his day, but wow, that is quite the web of a conspiracy right there. Oof, so run that by me again. So Donald Trump and both Mike Pence are going to get voted out of office, or not voted out of office, but basically kicked out of office by the Republican Party sometime in March, which would mean Nancy Pelosi would take over as president. She would choose Hillary Clinton as her vice president, then Nancy Pelosi would resign, and that would mean Hillary would become president.
Yeah, and
exactly. Yeah. Didn't you hear that? And could it be true?
I would say there's probably a better chance of Hunter becoming president over the next 3 years than that happening. And me becoming Hunter's vice president.
Yeah. Nancy Pelosi, you think she would hand that job over? I mean, what does she owe to Hillary Clinton?
Yeah, Nancy is a pretty power-hungry person, to say the least, because all you got to do is look at the people she surrounded herself with among the House leadership. It's all people that are generally in their late 70s or early 80s, so they can't really challenge her for any leadership post. I have mixed feelings about Nancy Pelosi, but she is a very calculating politician. Okay. I do not think under any circumstance she would give up the presidency. But hey, Rich, Rich, before you go, are you listening to us on the TuneIn app, or how are you tuning us in?
My one app audio player that I've done for ever since the beginning.
Oh, very cool. Okay. Yeah, glad to have you listening to us in Tempe. How's the weather down there? It's got to be nicer than we're getting here in Minnesota. We got some snow going on right now.
Yeah, I know. I hear the weather request. You should be a snowbird and come on down here. It's close to 70 degrees and sunny and everything, and no snow or ice, and no freezing temperatures.
I might have to take you up on that offer. Hey, thanks so much for the call there, Rich. Hey, by the way, I actually am going down towards that area later in February when you get to fill in for me. I was thinking about doing the show right from the desert in Palm Springs, but I don't know if I could quite do the technology, or if I'm really a cheapskate and just don't want to pay for the checked bag fee of bringing the gear down there.
I got no plans of leaving here.
You got no plans.
I'm stuck for the winter.
952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Let's get to one more phone call before we head to the break, and let's go to Phil in Golden Valley. Hey, Phil, looks like you have a suggestion for the wall.
Yeah, my suggestion for the Democrats is, say, we will vote for the wall with one major attachment to the bill. There has to be a 100% transparent, complete environmental impact statement done for every single parcel of property they're going to seize or buy or obtain. Mm-hmm. And it has to be a completely transparent process, public hearings. They'll give them the first $1 billion so that you can do the complete environmental impact statement, but it has to be ruled favorable at the end, and I guarantee you that would never happen.
No, probably not, and thanks so much for the call there, Phil. I was also doing some research on this as well. There are some other unintended consequences of putting this wall along the border, and a lot of it has to do with how it could lead to flooding on both the U.S. and the Mexico side, because you would basically be gathering up water on one side if you were to put this wall along the Rio Grande and other areas along the U.S. and Mexican border. But hey, Colin Peterson says we should just give up and give in to Donald Trump. My goodness. We're going to share some more thoughts on him and take your calls as well. And then hopefully as we get towards the end of the hour, I want to talk a little bit more about the controversy we've seen over the past week or so, both here in Minnesota with a Jordan basketball team and also what we saw in Washington, D.C. involving the Native Americans and those Catholic students from Kentucky. We'll talk more about all of those subjects on the way next here on AM 950. Again, it's Brett and Hunter filling in for Matt McNeil on your Tuesday.
Hi, this is Matt, owner of Green Home Doctors. Cold drafts in your home are a sign that your home is not properly insulated. Approximately 80% of the homes in our area are not sealed and insulated properly. A typical home has air leakage equal to a large open window. Green Home Doctors specializes in making your home comfortable, healthy, and energy efficient. Call today and take advantage of rebates from CenterPoint and Xcel Energy. To learn more about the savings, visit greenhomedr.com.
Hey Minnesota, Norman Goldman here. Catch me live every weeknight from 5 to 8 p.m. right here on AM 950. Whether it's a recap of the day's news, legal analysis, or teaching civics, justice is always served on the Norman Goldman Show. Today on the show, it's day 32 of the Trump shutdown, and I'm starting to think he doesn't want to reopen it. I'm also starting to think that these social, cultural, and religious wars are a good thing for America. Join me live from 5 to 8 p.m. on AM 950.
Supporting the best local and independently owned restaurants in the Twin Cities has never been easier. You'll find an expansive list of local dining options at eatlocalminnesota.com, from classic American comfort food to authentic flavors from around the world. Cafe Latte offers made-from-scratch soups, salads, sandwiches, and mouth-watering desserts. Stop in the wine bar and enjoy a unique pizza loaded with fresh vegetables and perfectly roasted meats. Over 30 wines by the glass, Cafe Latte highlights Washington State wines and is the perfect destination for date night or an evening with friends. 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul. Victor's 1959 Cafe has been serving South Minneapolis traditional Cuban food for over 15 years. Victor's is open for breakfast and lunch daily and now accepts dinner reservations too. Stop in and try the Pollo Tropicale or the Sandwich Cubano, which was featured on Food Network. More at eatlocalminnesota.com.
At Pride Institute, being LGBTQ plus is the norm, not the exception. Their highly trained and skilled staff understand your issues and will help you live a happy, healthy life as a proud LGBTQ plus person. They offer you hope to overcome your addiction and live the life you want. Their treatment programs are designed to assist you in developing the knowledge, skills, and attitudes for long-term recovery. Therapy groups include health education, LGBTQ issues, HIV and chronic illness, trauma, grief and loss, transgender support, nicotine recovery, education, and sexual health. Pride Institute offers a residential treatment program, a partial hospitalization program that includes day programming with lodging, and an intensive outpatient program. If you or someone in your life can benefit from guidance and coping skills, life balance, and other tools necessary for long-term recovery, check them out at pride-institute.com or call 800-547-7433 now.
So I got kind of an interesting story about Hazel's Northeast. By the way, this is Brett and Hunter filling in on your Tuesday afternoon. I know my mom is listening right now, and she was telling me, she'll have to correct me if I'm wrong. I thought she went inadvertently to Hazel's Northeast with her neighborhood friends, not knowing it was an AM 950 advertiser. It was either Hazel's or another delicious eat local restaurant, and she was saying it was absolutely delicious, and had a drunken banana French toast does sound awfully good. I got to head over there sometime. Have you been to Hazel's before?
I haven't.
You have not, yeah. No. We might have to hit that up. Maybe we'll have to have our next production meeting with Doug over there.
Have a meeting.
I agree with that. We went to Victor's 1959 Cafe the other day, and boy, that was good.
Yeah, that was fabulous.
That's where the repartee was born,
it was.
So to speak.
It was, at
Victor's
absolutely.
1959 Cafe. Hey, another quick programming note, or not necessarily a programming note, but a Blue State Ball note. We have some updates regarding the Blue State Ball, again, coming up on Saturday, March 2nd at the Blaisdell in Minneapolis. We have a catering option now confirmed. It's going to be It's Greek to Me. They're going to be catering at the Blue State Ball. That's another place I got to get over to, but I've not had a lot of Greek food in my time, but it's something I probably got into, but I really got to look forward to having them cater at the Blue State Ball. Have you been to It's Greek to Me before?
Oh, absolutely. They are wonderful.
Okay.
It's really good, and I love Greek food.
Yeah, so make sure you check that out. They're going to be catering at the Blue State Ball. Lots of great speakers as well. Tom Hartman is our headliner. We're still working on getting another headliner, hopefully to go along with him, but for now, we still have Hunter and myself will be out there along with Doug Padgett. Of course, Matt McNeil, the person who usually hosts this hour, will be out at the Blue State Ball as well. And lots of politicians We probably won't know who until about the week before or so, if even that, because, well, you know, politicians' schedules. Usually it takes them a while to get things firmed up, working that into their schedule. But we anticipate lots of politicians to make it out there, whether they're senators, House reps, local people. Expect lots of politicals out of the blue state ball as well. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Let's continue our discussion on that border wall before we move on to the controversy that's happened over the past week here in Minnesota with the Jordan High School basketball team and also what happened in Washington, D.C. But first, let's talk more about that border wall with Julie in Minneapolis. Hey, Julie, what's on your mind with the wall?
Hi. Well, you know, I just thought of something when I was on hold. You know, Trump wants to build the wall with steel. He said the Democrats are demanding steel. But actually, according to Tom's show, the only steel factory that's large enough is in Canada, and it's owned by a Russian. It's probably just a coincidence.
Oh,
but,
I'm sure,
know,
yeah.
That's, you know, that kind of stuff doesn't get in the mainstream media. The other thing is, as most of us know, Trump did not include any border guards to watch this 1,950-mile long wall. You know, he didn't include any guard or any guard towers for his Great Wall of China, which, of course, you've got to have it. And the third thing I wanted to jump in on, Homeland Security has said it'll cost $20 billion, but that's really a low estimate. It's really going to be closer to $1 trillion. And I wish some of these little facts would enter the mainstream media. It's really frustrating, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And Julie, thanks so much for the call. You brought up a great point, because what good is a border wall if there's no border guards? Because all you need is a ramp or a ladder to get over the wall, and maybe a piece of rope to go down on the other side. In fact, we've already seen this taking place at the border wall. In fact, there was a viral video that was put out in 2010 of drug smugglers doing this exact thing, just using a ladder and rope to get over a wall. So as Julie said, you need border guards for this to be effective. And start to do the math on this. How many thousands of miles of border wall would this be? And how many guards would you need along this border wall? Let's do a conservative estimate and say maybe, how about one guard every 2 miles? So you're looking at several hundred thousand guards that you would need, who would also need to be paid a salary as well. Let's put them on the low end of maybe $40,000 a year. That adds up to several million, if not getting into the billions of dollars of range that you would need to pay for this wall. Also, you need to maintain the border wall over the years because it can deteriorate. Because already in areas, especially in California near the San Diego-Tijuana border, that wall's had holes punched in it, not only from people, but just through natural causes, because walls do deteriorate. And then one more issue with the border wall that I didn't actually realize until I was doing some research this morning, actually that was done by the Cato Institute, you also really need this wall to be transparent as well. And that's for the border guard's purposes, because if you have a wall that you can only see from one side, how do you know you have people trying to climb over the wall on the other if you can't see through the wall? Another important issue as well is that I'm sure that would cost more money to make the wall transparent. 952-946-6205 is our phone number here at the station, 952-946-6205. So lots of problems with that border wall, and we'll have to see if anything happens with that. I hope the Democrats do hold firm with that and don't go along with Colin Peterson, who again was just telling The Hill today that we should just give Trump all his money because the wall is inevitable. I don't know what to make of him sometimes. I know I'm not one of those people that wants to have the progressive purity test where you have to be to the left on certain issues to be part of the Democratic Party. No, I don't want that, because I get in rural areas, you do need some Democrats who are more moderate or even right-leaning, but agreeing with the border wall and saying we should just give it that, I'm not sure I'm really on board there with Colin Peterson. But we'll have to see how this plays out, and I'm really interested in watching the polling on this as well, because Donald Trump's approval ratings have really taken a dive over the past few weeks since the government has been shut down. During most of the year 2018, his approval rating, according to 538, was usually hovering around the 42 to 43% mark, but now their most recent aggregate actually had his approval rating down to 39%. So you wonder now if people who maybe don't pay attention to the issues very much will see, well, I guess Donald Trump proposed something. Maybe that'll make his approval ratings jump back up. I certainly hope not, because he has seen his ratings drop a little bit over the past few weeks with the government shutdown. I'm going to head out of order on these calls just because I want to wrap up the border wall conversation. Let's go to Lynette in Chaska. Hey there, Lynette. How are you doing today?
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to add on to what the other caller had mentioned. Now, of course, I was driving, and I couldn't hear the program. This was on NPR, and he said exactly what that. Maybe she heard the same program I did. And he was an official. I want to say he was like a sheriff, but he was saying that he, you know, they were saying he supported Donald Trump, he voted for Donald Trump, but his he was disagreeing that he said the president does not have any security plan. So he said, even though I support Trump, he said, I do see that he has no security plan, because he said a wall isn't enough. Like you just said, you get the ladder and you're over it. So.
Yeah, and you need border guards as well, because a wall with no guards really does nothing. It's just there as an obstacle. It's a speed bump.
Right,
a wall
isn't going to solve it all. So.
Yeah. Hey, thanks so much for the call there, Lynette. That's Lynette in Chaska chiming in on the border wall. Let's go to Mary in Bloomington. Jeff, you're going to be up next, by the way. But first, Mary, what's on your mind with the border wall?
Well, I was listening to one of the shows over the weekend, and they mentioned that Trump is dealing from a vendor point of view, that not with engineering costs, and that engineeringly, the engineers have been saying that it's not, that the wall's not feasible. You got to start out with engineers before you to design it properly. And evidently, what they've looked at, it is not a feasible option.
Hey, thanks so much for the call, Mary. Yeah, definitely. He has not for sure looked at the engineering aspect of that as well. Want to switch gears now and talk about what happened in Washington, D.C. over the weekend with the March for Our Life, which was taking place in Washington, D.C. It was basically a pro-life march, and they ended up running into a conflict with a number of different groups, these students from Covington Catholic in Kentucky, as you probably saw over the weekend with those viral videos of what was happening with the Native Americans being taunted by these students from Covington Catholic in Kentucky. Now, of course, the narrative we've seen over the past day or two is that we've seen different images and different videos showing that maybe we weren't getting the entire story, and that it was actually the Native Americans that were actually approaching the white students from Kentucky, and maybe they should share some of the blame, which I completely disagree with, because if you saw what was happening, they were actually trying to keep the peace between these two groups. You had, just taking some of these right-wingers and their word at it, basically they were saying that, well, there was this different group of, I'm trying to think if they were from the Middle East. Basically, they were, I think, I'm blanking on the name, but it was basically some African-Americans that were supposedly taunting these high school students from Kentucky. And it looked like tensions were really escalating between these two groups. Again, this is just taking some of these right-wing publications at their word. And then all of a sudden, you see these Native Americans and the drummer walk into that situation and try to break up the confrontation and try to keep the peace by playing their prayer song. And that's essentially what they were doing. And then they were essentially being mocked by these white students from Kentucky. As you can see in some of the videos, they were doing that tomahawk chop, which you sometimes see at football or baseball games. I know Florida State is kind of infamous for doing that. They were also kind of singing along and mocking the song as well. So there's definitely been some mixed reporting about that, and I don't like that the narrative has kind of changed, that maybe you should blame both sides on that, because even though it was the Native Americans that were approaching the white students, they were essentially trying to keep the peace in this situation. I think that's something that's been missing, because people are just saying, well, they're actually the ones that started this confrontation, when that's really not the case at all. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. And, oh, by the way, Covington Catholic also has kind of a nasty history in terms of race relations. Back in 2011, this was a video posted on Facebook and also on Twitter. The Covington Catholic High School basketball team was apparently playing a team that had one black player, and apparently everyone in the Covington Catholic student section dressed in all black, including some students that were actually in blackface. Ooh, very ugly. So there is some lessons that need to be learned at that high school over in Kentucky. I have full phone lines right now, so let's go ahead and get to Jeff in Minneapolis. He's been waiting a while. I want to get his thoughts on this issue. Hey, Jeff, what's going on today?
Hey, thank you very much. Pleasure to be on your show. Good information as always. I'd just like to comment on the Covington Catholic High School boys. I'm a student of history. I've always enjoyed history. And one of the things that, unfortunately, dictators do is they get the youth on their side. Very scary. I think we could correlate that with also what's going on down in Jordan with the basketball team. If people will go on and just Google the Catholic boys' school, you'll see that they have some form of hand signals. It's very weird, very scary. And what reminded me, I did some reading on this last night, and I'll make it brief and then I'll get off the line, is it reminds me a lot of Nazi Germany, Hitler Youth, and the brown shirts. Thanks for all you do, and I'll get off the line and wait for your comment.
Hey, thanks so much there, Jeff. Yeah, it's unfortunately, I think, kind of a fitting fitting comparison. I was originally always hesitant to kind of make those comparisons, but I don't know how you get to that point where you're at a high school basketball game and you're actually dressing in blackface. What would inspire you to do that? What kind of hatred would you need in your life to actually be able to dress in all blackface? I just don't know. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We're going to take another short break and continue with your phone calls. Up next, it's Brett and Hunter in for Matt McNeil on your Tuesday.
Tom Hartman here, letting you know how you can save money with All Energy Solar. One of the myths about solar is that it's too expensive and you need lots of money down. The truth? Solar is available for little or no money down. And if you have a great site for solar, you might even save money right away on a monthly basis. So don't wait to switch. You'll see your investment pay off the sooner you switch to All Energy Solar. So start saving today and visit allenergysolar.com.
Stop and listen for a second. Do you hear that? It's peace, quiet, and tranquility. After a busy holiday season, that's what you'll experience at Big Bear Lodge just off the Gunflint Trail. There's always an abundance of snow and winter activities like ice fishing, snowshoeing, snowmobiling, and world-class cross-country skiing. Then cozy up in one of Big Bear Lodge's guest rooms or authentic woodsy cabins. Come find your smile at Big Bear Lodge. More at BigBearLodgeMN.com.
This is Chad, owner of AM950. I've been telling you about my friends at Snap Construction, who are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior construction company in the metro. Don't just take my word for it. Take a look at all their reviews online. Winter is the most cost-effective time of the year to complete your construction project. A majority of Minnesotans choose to have their work completed on their home in the summer when they should be enjoying the weather. As a result, the demand for labor in the summer is much higher. The most cost-effective way to improve or restore your home is in the winter due to the lower demand. Right now, Snap Construction is offering an additional 30% off of labor to the AM950 listeners on your next construction project between now and the end of February. Call 612-333-SNAP and mention AM950 for an additional 30% off. As always, Snap Construction stands by their work with a lifetime craftsmanship warranty. Don't wait to get a free estimate by calling 612-333-SNAP or find them online at snapconstruction.com. Financing options available.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Brett and Hunter filling in for Matt McNeil on your Tuesday afternoon. We'll also be hosting the 4 p.m. hour, our usual show, the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, where we'll be talking more about local and Minnesota politics. But got full phone lines. Want to try to run these before we get to the end of the hour, and let's go to our buddy Randy in Coon Rapids. Hey, Randy, what's on your mind? And by the way, thanks for pointing this out, the black Hebrew Israelites that were also having that confrontation with the students.
I don't know what black Israelites are, but from what the video, I mean, I listened to and watched a lot of the video, and it was these black Israelite people, this group, that they were, the things they were saying, if you hear the language they were using, was majorly offensive against the Native Americans, and they were basically yelling and screaming at the Native Americans that they should go over to the Catholic group because they were wearing some Make America Great hats or something like that, and basically taunting them to go after them. That's how that whole thing kind of started. I didn't see or hear one single video of this group, the Catholic kids, did anything wrong whatsoever.
Hey, Randy, I'm going to wrap you up there just since we got some other callers that I want to run because we do have a guest at the top of the 4 o'clock hour. But I actually have some video that we're going to play back, audio from this video of some pretty nasty comments from these high school students in Kentucky. We'll try to get to that during the 4 p.m. hour. And even if we kind of take Randy at face value and what he's seen, that it was these Black Israelites or whatever this group was called that was insulting the Native Americans and also the white students, it in no way justifies some of the things these white students were doing to the Native American drummers, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I want to get to Pauly in St. Paul because he knows someone that was actually at this event in Washington, D.C., so I want to bring Pauly in. Hey, Pauly, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you that basically what you said about the incident is exactly what I heard from people that were there shortly afterwards. Mm-hmm. So you're absolutely correct. The only thing is, they were chanting, build the wall, build the wall, build the wall, which, you know, frankly to me is kind of a racist thing, you know? I don't think it's a real necessity. It's like a racist monument. Those Black Israelites, have run into them many times in New York, and yes, they do not represent African-American people in this country at all.
No, it's a fringe group, exactly.
Pain in the neck. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but, no, you're absolutely right. And you know what? It's really like a belligerent, well, what they described was like a belligerent stormtrooper, brown shirt, Bull Connor type of behavior out of the kids.
Hey, Pauly, thanks so much for the call. I want to run one more and try to clear the phone lines here before we speak to David Schultz talking about Minnesota politics as we begin the 4 p.m. hour. But first, we got KW in Minneapolis. He has a comment about the wall and also the high school boys from Kentucky. Hey there, KW.
Hello. You know, first of all, I've been trying to think about, I am a liberal, a progressive. I'm trying to think, when did the border wall become an issue for us liberals? I don't recall that until Donald Trump became president. But also, you know, it's been a bad few days for the for media, because they busted a couple of stories. And, you know, I think it's time for media to reflect on the accuracy of what they're giving the people. You know, we need less rhetoric and more facts, I think.
Hey, KW, thanks so much for the call. And just to go to your point, when did the border wall become an issue, not only for liberals, but also conservatives? I hate bringing up the name over and over again, but it was Trump. No one was really talking about the border wall as a serious issue until he made it the central piece of his campaign back when he launched it in 2015. I mean, there was some talk of a border wall over the past few decades, but it never really went anywhere. It was more just border fences or border security. No one really was talking about a full-on wall until Trump entered the campaign season back in 2015. Hey, it's Brett and Hunter filling in for Matt McNeil. Again, Matt is back on Thursday. We got Alan Miller tomorrow. Then Hunter and I are sticking around for our usual show here at 4 o'clock today in just a few minutes, so stay tuned for that.
Enjoy a delicious home-cooked breakfast or lunch away from the kitchen at Milda's Cafe, now open 7 days a week. Milda's Cafe has been cooking up family favorites since 1964. Grab a coffee and sit down for a delicious Philly scramble, house-made rolls, or Denver omelet. Stop in for lunch where you'll find authentic Finnish pasties every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Open weekdays.